This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. I'm Leah McGrath. I'm the corporate dietitian for Ingles Markets. And yes, I am the voice that you hear when you're shopping at your local Ingles store. If you're a local person or if you're in any of our 200 stores in six states, otherwise, maybe you are just tuning in through iHeart. So you can find this show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time if you download the iHeart app to your phone or your mobile device, and or you can find it online. And it is always interesting to talk to experts in the field that I'm not really familiar with. And so today I have on the show with me today a veterinarian, and not just any veterinarian. I have a large animal veterinarian, somebody who deals a lot with animals that you'd find on a farm. And her name, coincidentally, is also Leah. So it's always fun to talk to another Leah. So it's going to sound kind of weird to you, but I am speaking with Dr. Leah Dorman. So hi, Dr. Dorman, how are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Is it okay if I call you Leah?
Just fine. And we can even rename this the Leah Squared Show.
I love it. So, you know, as I was thinking about things to talk to you about and ask you about, I thought one of the things that might be important to sort of set the stage before we delve into animals and antibiotics is talk a little bit about your training as a veterinarian. And I know probably a lot of our listeners are familiar with taking their dog or their cat to the vet, but you work specifically with farm animals. So people aren't loading up their dairy cow or their bull into the back of their car and taking it to visit you, right? So that doesn't happen too often, right?
Well, sometimes it does.
Oh,
it really
okay.
Depends on the practice. And, just so you know, I actually am not in practice anymore.
Oh, okay.
I work for a company. But I did practice, you know, part of my background. I spent 6.5 years in a mixed animal practice, and there were times that people would load something up and bring it in. But most of the time, it was me going to the farm so that I could not only, lots of times you don't only need to look at the individual animal, you might need to look at the whole herd or the whole flock, because you need to take everybody into account and see what's going on in that particular situation.
So I guess I was thinking of my car, which is a CRV, and picturing some of those big dairy cows. They really wouldn't fit so well in the back of my CRV. I guess that's what I was thinking.
No, that doesn't work well. Although I've seen stranger things happen.
So how is it different, like when you're training, like how is learning how to be a veterinarian for large animals different, or is it different from a veterinarian that we might take our dogs to?
Well, you know, I think the main difference and our education is really very similar. You know, I go through the same coursework that a companion animal veterinarian goes through for the most part. You really differentiate yourself in those elective courses. So, for instance, you know, when it came time to take elective courses, I would choose something like dairy herd health.
Oh, okay.
You know, rather than a more oriented, you know, companion animal oriented type of course. So that's really where you begin to differentiate yourself. And, but, you know, that basic knowledge of all animals certainly is there with veterinarians. It just kind of depends on what your interest and where your passion lies. And mine certainly lies in the food animal side. You know, I practiced with companion animals once upon a time as well. But my real love is with agriculture and animal agriculture specifically. And my background's a little bit weird. I worked for the Ohio Department of Agriculture as the assistant state veterinarian, so did a lot of disease eradication and control, and really, you know, my role there was to protect animals and looking at Ohio's livestock herd as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Spent 8 years there, and then went to work for Ohio Farm Bureau. So I did some policy work did a lot of animal care work on behalf of farmers with Ohio Farm Bureau. And then now I work for a company called Fibro Animal Health, and we make a variety of different products mainly livestock products, including minerals, nutritional specialties, antibiotics, dewormers, those types of things in order to keep animals healthy.
And you, but you also, do you live on a farm as well right now?
I do. So, you know, part of my, the rest of my background is my husband's a farmer, grain farmers really, corn, soybeans, and wheat. But we also have a few livestock. And probably most importantly, I raise three girls, which is probably the most challenging thing to raise as well.
Sure.
But they're also very involved in the 4-H and FFA projects. So, I mean, we've got all sorts of critters. Some we raise, you know, for freezer meat for ourselves and for family members. But some of them are their projects and their, you know, their work to do, if you will. And one other odd thing about my background. So you kind of heard that, yeah, I've been in practice and I've had both policy and regulatory background. But the real reason I got into animal agriculture was people. First of all, I love people, but I had the opportunity when I was in high school to go on a work mission. And that work mission was to Haiti. Mm. And that is a very, very poor country.
Yeah.
And it's a country that has trouble feeding itself. And I saw hunger firsthand. And even though I was 15 years old, spent 3 weeks working there, anything from building roads to digging a basement for a school, I really decided at a young age that I don't ever want to see that type of hunger again. And so what can I do? How can I make an impact so that we never see that type of hunger, or at least less hunger in the world? So that's how I got involved in animal agriculture.
Wow. And where do you live now? What state do you live in now?
I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
I'm in Ohio. Yeah.
And how big is the farm that you live on?
Oh, we're actually pretty small farmers. So, you know, we don't have a lot of livestock. We've got some meat goats, some does, and a couple bucks. And then we also raise dairy beef. So no cows.
Okay.
I get baby calves at 3 days old and raise them until they're ready to go to market. And then we farm about 500 acres on the crop side.
So that's fun. It's funny, Leah, because here in West North Carolina, 500 acres would be huge for us because we're up in the mountains. I want to make sure we mention.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I want to make sure we mention how people can find you. Go to animalantibiotics.org, and there's a Meet the Vet. And we're going to also mention that Dr. Dorman is on Twitter, and you can find her on Facebook. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingalls dietitian. I'm speaking with Dr. Leah Dorman, another Leah, as we were saying earlier. This is now the Leah Squared Show. And Dr. Dorman's background is in animal agriculture. She was trained as a veterinarian, and she lives on a farm now. And she and her husband and her three daughters farm grains, and also they have animals. But the reason we have Dr. Dorman on is because I have run into her at conferences, and she has often spoken about antibiotic use among farmers for their animals. And Dr. Dorman, you know, one of the questions, I get a lot of questions from consumers that are concerned about animals being given antibiotics and the antibiotics getting into our food supply and causing antibiotic resistance. Is there an easy way to maybe allay consumers' fears about that? Or what are farmers doing to address those kinds of fears?
Sure. I think that's a great question. And, you know, it's important that we remember that food is personal. You know, we buy food, meat, milk, and eggs to feed our family. And we want to make sure it's safe. I know as a mom, that's certainly one of the things I want to make sure that it's safe. I want to make sure it's safe and it's healthy and it's something good that I'm putting on the table for my family. So I understand the concern, absolutely. But as far as antibiotics in food goes, there are several safeguards in place to make sure our food is safe to eat. And So even though an animal may have been given antibiotics, one of those safeguards is we as veterinarians, farmers also are required by law, they are required to follow a withdrawal time. And that is something that is tested and it's approved by FDA and it's written right on the label. And the withdrawal time is really that period of time that it takes for that antibiotic to work out of that animal system. So if we give an antibiotic, there's a withdrawal time written on that label. It may be 0 days, depending on the medication, but it may be 10 days, it could be 30 days. And so that's our requirement, that it's our responsibility to make sure that that animal stays out of the food supply for that many days to make sure that that animal product is safe for all of us to consume. But then the other thing that happens, there's kind of a check and balance there, and USDA, so the U.S. Department of Agriculture, also does testing, especially on the meat side, and I mainly talk about meat, but we can talk about milk and eggs as well, and milk is very, very tested. But in the meat plant, then USDA also pulls samples to be sure, again, it's kind of that check and balance, if you will, to make sure, doubly sure that meat is safe to put on our tables.
So, you know, I think one of the things that's confusing consumers a lot these days is they see labels on different types of meat products that say things like antibiotic free or, well, that's probably the more common one, or no antibiotics administered. What's your sort of reaction when you see labels like that on food? Because you really have nothing to do. That's sort of just something you would see also as a consumer, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I believe in food choice. So if I always tell folks, if you feel better about buying meat that is antibiotic free or no antibiotics ever, you go. That's what you should do. You should buy that. Do I personally see value in that? I don't. I don't. And I have no issue because I know that those safeguards are in place. I am very comfortable that food is safe to eat, whether that animal has been given antibiotics or not. And I think it's important in this conversation to consider animal care. You know, let's think about why we're giving antibiotics in the first place. And, you know, many times we're giving antibiotics because an animal is either sick or we can prevent or control a sickness in a flock or a herd. And so one of the big things that certainly me as a veterinarian, one of the big things that I need to do is make sure that animal is not suffering. If I can prevent that suffering or if I can limit that suffering as much as possible, there are times when giving an antibiotic is the right thing to do.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually had an email from one of our customers recently who was concerned about that label for that specific reason. She wrote, I'm seeing no antibiotics administered or no antibiotic free or never given antibiotics on labels. And I'm concerned about animal suffering. She said, I want to know that what happens to these animals when they get sick if they're not given antibiotics, are they suffering? So how would you respond to that?
You know, it really does depend on the individual farm. It depends on how they're marketing that product. But typically what happens is, and let's use chickens because I think that's probably the most common product that you're seeing those labels on. Oftentimes what happens is if it's sold under a particular brand that is either no antibiotics ever or antibiotics free or has some sort of antibiotics label on it, oftentimes what they'll do is go ahead and remove those hens, or not necessarily hens, but remove those birds from that particular label. And so they will just market those differently. Mm-hmm. They'll market those under either a different label or brand or potentially even an unbranded product that doesn't have that label.
I know.
So they can go ahead and treat those birds,
right,
and just market them differently. And that's typically what happens.
I know that in organic, I'm familiar with some organic operations, and what I've heard from some of those farmers and ranchers is that because antibiotics are not permitted under the USDA organic seal, I mean, they're permitted, but if they have to be removed from the herd. And what they're,
correct,
what they say is that, you know, usually they'll have a relationship with a non-organic operation where they can sell the animal to them, or the animal will go into an auction and be sold elsewhere. But mm-hmm. they will, you know, just for the sake of animal welfare, they'll definitely always treat that animal so the animal will not suffer.
Yep. But just like in the organic program, they're basically removed from being marketed,
yes,
under that particular label.
Right. I want to make sure we again mention, as we're coming to the end of the segment, that if you have questions that you would like to ask Dr. Dorman, you can find her on a website. It's called animalantibiotics.org. She's also on Twitter. Stay tuned to the Ingalls Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingalls Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingalls dietitian. I'm talking today with Dr. Leah Dorman, another Leah. Her background is in as an animal veterinarian, a little bit slightly different than your veterinarian for your dogs or your cats. She's has a background in dealing with livestock animals, but she also lives on a farm in Ohio. And so she's been talking to us a little bit about antibiotics, which is a pretty hot topic when it comes to animal agriculture. And, you know, you see all kinds of labels on packaging, antibiotic free, raised without antibiotics. And sometimes it really causes people to question what's going on with animals, or are these farmers just feeding their cows or their beef cattle or their dairy cows or their chickens tons of antibiotics. So, Leah, that's something I hear from people. They have this conception that big food or big farming, big ag, is just feeding animals like huge regular doses of antibiotics all the time. How would you respond to something like that?
Yeah, I hear it all the time as well. And I think the phrase I hear the most is that animal agriculture uses 70% of all the antibiotics
sold
in the U.S. And honestly, that's sort of true. We actually use closer to 80%, or at least based on the sales numbers. But we really need to put that in perspective. While it's true, we do use 5 times more antibiotics than humans, we also have 30 times more animals to keep healthy. 30 times.
Yeah, people don't often mention that second part of that story, do they?
No. And, you know, granted, chickens are in there that are smaller than the average human, but cattle are also in there, which are probably 8 times bigger than the average human. So, So I think you just have to put that in perspective.
Right. And then,
and keep in mind, you know, responsible use is so, so important.
Sure.
You know, in animal agriculture, we're always working to improve, but responsible use and what we call antibiotic stewardship is very, very important. We want to use antibiotics, you know, at the right dose. We want to choose the right drug for the right disease at the right time for the right amount of time. And, you know, that's all part of this picture as well. And, you know, the whole idea, and I even remember a popular news story that showed a picture as they were doing a voiceover about how farmers are feeding antibiotics to all the animals.
Right.
Well, that's not quite true. That's not really true. And when you start thinking about the dollars and cents of that, it doesn't make sense, because the antibiotics also do cost some money, and that obviously would have to be turned over to the consumer.
And
so something else to think about.
And I know one of the recently there's been some regulations put into place that affect farmers and animal agriculture. Can you, in a couple of sentences, can you kind of explain what that is in terms of antibiotics?
Absolutely. We understand that antimicrobial or antibiotic resistance is a public health issue. We absolutely understand that. And so one of the things that we've done in animal agriculture is we have taken action. We have, the animal health community has sat down, veterinarians, the animal health companies with FDA, and we voluntarily decided to go ahead and put some regulation in place. And it did a couple things. One, it increased veterinary oversight of antibiotics that are important to humans. I'll explain that in just a second. So we've increased veterinary oversight, but then we've also removed those same antibiotics that are important to humans. We no longer use those for growth promotion uses.
Okay.
So two big changes.
And I think that I feel like that message is not really getting out there enough to consumers. So how can maybe dietitians or how can the agriculture community really do a better job or to get that message out? What could they do?
Yeah. I think the first thing is just to acknowledge, hey, animal agriculture is taking action. We understand that we want to decrease any of our potential impact or our potential contribution to antibiotic resistance. And so we've taken action. We've made some changes in how we do business. And then even better, if we can have these conversations with people, consumers that have questions, whether in social media, individually, you know, at your, you know, your local speakers bureau, those kinds of things. But I think that the other way is to really demonstrate some of the things that we're doing on the farm. And, you know, that may mean farm tours. It may mean, again, going to those, you know, local speakers bureaus, always looking for speakers and showing some pictures on your farm. You know, sometimes for biosecurity reasons, we can't have a lot of people on the farm just
sure.
for fear that they'll track in potential disease, which could lead to the use of antibiotics
right.
that, you know, we don't necessarily want to put our animals through that. So I think just even telling stories about what we do and some of the things that we've done, again, to address the concerns so that people also understand that we're concerned about the same thing that most consumers are. We want to make sure our food is safe and healthy to feed our families.
So I think the piece here that maybe both of us need to, like, you know, from my side of things with as a dietitian with a retailer and your side of things and the farmer side of things, the middle piece that we need to address is the marketing piece that is going on with a lot of brands who are hearing those concerns from consumers and marketing products and in a way that doesn't always help that conversation. You know, it makes it more confusing and concerning sometimes for consumers.
Sure.
I want to make sure we mention that you can find Dr. Dorman on Facebook. She's Ask Dr. Dorman on Facebook, and you can also find her on Twitter as Ask Dr. Dorman on Twitter. She is always very receptive and willing to answer your questions about animal agriculture, specifically things about antibiotic use. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that farmers have access to, but, you know, they're typically doing them for a reason, and they are very cost conscious, and they're also very conscious of the welfare of their animals because it represents a huge investment for them and their family. And, you know,
it's simply the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. Exactly. Thank you so much, Dr. Dorman, for, talking with us on the Ingalls Information Aisle, and I look forward to connecting with you again.
Leah, thanks for having me on.